Hello, my name's Joseph Curry, and I'm here to tell you how a punk rock kid with a blue mohawk came to own Flat River Dance Company in Greenville, right after this.
Welcome to the Discover Montcalm podcast, where we look at the communities, businesses, attractions, and people that make up Montcalm County. Here's your podcast host, Dwayne Weed.
Hello, my name's Dwayne, the host and producer of the Discover Montcalm podcast, and I'm kind of hooked on the blue hair. If you heard Joseph in the beginning do the intro, I mean, punk rock and blue hair. I think we need to get to know Joseph a little bit. Thank you, Joseph, for making the trip over to Howard City. And you opened the door. How did the punk rock blue hair guy come to Greenville?
Yeah, well, the journey's long, but let's start at the beginning.
Okay. Right?
So I wasn't born a dancer. I didn't grow up being a dancer. I was about 10th grade in high school, and I stumbled across a friend wandering into a theater, and he said he'd get me a job working backstage. So I followed him in, and a local ballet school was performing, and they invited us to take a partnering class. And I said, "What's a partnering class?" And they said, "Well, it's not dance per se. You just hold the girls." Hold the girls how? By their waist and their hand, and you lift them up. And I went, "These girls? I think I can come to that class."
Yeah.
And that was my very first dance class. And then I fell in love with dance, started taking class every day, day after day. Eventually went from my small school, Laurel Youth Ballet, to Pittsburgh Ballet, to Point Park Conservatory, to the University of North Carolina School of the Arts, to North Carolina Dance Theater, now Charlotte Ballet. And then post-professional career, became a teacher, eventually bought a school along the way.
Wow. And it all started because you said, I have to hold them up, and I get to be around girls?
Absolutely.
My mind's going, lucky dog. But there's a lot of work in that.
Absolutely.
And holding them up means you're not dropping them. So it takes a little physical strength, and it's all got to be choreographed.
Timing and placement.
Yeah, it's like 1, 2, 3, let's go. So with that being said, you didn't grow up in Greenville.
No.
Because you just kind of went through a little bit, and I'm going, okay, that's not Greenville. That's not Montcalm County. What brought you in your journey? Because it sounds like it's an interesting journey. What brought you to Greenville?
All right. My then wife, Miranda, and she's still my co-owner, Flat River Dance Company. My then wife, though, we were working in Charlotte, North Carolina, in a dance company called Moving Poets Theater of Dance. And our boss, Till, a good friend of mine, comes up to us one day and goes, I'm moving the company to Germany. He's a big German guy himself.
Okay.
And I was 35 at the end of my career. And I was like, I'm not going to Germany. And so none of the company members really made the trip. But so we found ourselves without a job. And at the time, I was offered a school outside of D.C. to kind of take over, and that fell through. So we didn't have a job. We gave up our place in Charlotte to move to D.C., and it just so happened we had a baby on the way. So I did what any man in my position would do. I rolled up my sleeves, and I moved in with Miranda's parents in Ada. So that's how we got to Michigan.
That got you to Michigan. Okay, now I'm starting to follow the path. So continue, please.
So while here, I was working as a choreographer for West Michigan Youth Ballet and teaching at Ada Dance Academy and a few other places.
Yep.
And a family came up and said, hey, we live in Greenville, and our studio owner, she wants to sell. Her name is Marcianne Layson. She's a wonderful lady. And so they got into contact with her, and we bought the school in 2008.
Yeah, okay. So, wow. So 2008, you're now a Greenville, Montcalm County resident.
Very much so.
And you bring with yourself quite a resume. And I think you just hit the bullet points, but it sounds like from that time where you followed your friend into a dance studio, thinking you're just going to get a job, turned into a passion.
Absolutely.
So, you know, and I love getting to know the people behind the sign. You know, so Flat River Dance Company is the name of your business. And we joked off camera that some people get company mixed up with other words. Mm-hmm. But it's Flat River Dance Company. And I take it you can find you on socials under that as well?
Absolutely. And all the social media things.
Okay. So 2008, you're in Greenville. You've now taken over a studio that was already been in existence
for about 10 years before we got there.
So, but now you're the new guy. You're the new guy. Everybody loves the other owner. Now, I mean,
no, absolutely.
Let's be real here. Talk about that first year or two. Did it immediately? Was it all roses and you know, butterflies? Or kind of give us your first inkling into owning
no,
the studio.
In fact, the words we heard most was, Marcy Ann did it this way. Marcy Ann did it that way, which is okay. I mean, people get used to one way, and then somebody comes in and wants to do something different. So our first steps were slow, and we took our time slowly making changes because we knew we didn't want to scare everybody away. Right. But we were bringing a very new perspective. From we were bringing in full-length ballets, classical background training within ballet, contemporary modern, etc. We're going to put in a new discipline. And it was kind of a shock to a lot of the kids and parents. But I think once they started seeing what we were producing and the kind of shows we were doing, they quickly got on board.
Well, life is full of change. We can always be know that that's a constant is change. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I kind of chuckle because you think about what the person before you did. Well, they didn't do it that way. Well, guess what? I do it differently. We're still teaching dance, but we do it differently. Mm-hmm. You know, so if you could describe your style of dance, and I am not a dancer, that would be comic relief if you needed any of that. I mean, I'm all on board to make people laugh, but how would you best describe in the professional world that you're in your brand or your label? I don't know if that's such a thing.
Me personally?
Or your studio?
Or the studio. Well, the studio, we would describe ourselves as a recreational program with a strong emphasis on ballet training. But we do many other styles, jazz, hip-hop, contemporary, partnering, point work.
Okay.
So we approach it from this motto that we're here to educate and entertain, to innovate and create, to define our times and reflect our past through the discipline of dance or through the art of dance.
Okay.
So that's how we approach things as a school. That's our general philosophy. Me personally, I kind of threaded the dance world between ballet and contemporary. So I kind of could go from classical to modern fairly easily. I liked them both.
Okay.
And I liked everything in between. And the companies I joined reflected that as well.
Okay. And, okay, not being in your world, but I would think that coming to small town community with big world experience, that kids see what they see on TV at the time, cable, you know, this is way before our cell phones, that modern must have been something that they saw more of than the, you know, but again, this is my outside the door, not knowing a thing about what you do perspective.
Yeah, well, what people see on TV and generally in public is not exactly representative of the true dance world.
Okay.
For example, like the shows that were popular at the time when we took over, Dance Moms and So You Think You Can Dance and things like that, they were made for TV
right.
moments. Aren't
entertainment
really,
purposes only.
Not really true to what we do. And then they tend to focus on the competition side of dance, which in our world, we're a real performance-oriented school, and okay. we teach it from a theatrical perspective.
Right. And there again, there are a number of dance studios, and life is full of choices. You find a discipline that you fit in, and that's where you take your child. And if it's not for them, there are plenty of people, but you have built your world around that discipline, which I think, you know, is cool. You're not, you know, but you're also, it sounds like you're able to adapt because we adapt. Life adapts. Is there an instance, and this could be your professional career before you got here, or something that has happened to you while you've owned the studio? Can you share, without putting names to it, can you share a funny moment, you know, where, you know, everybody's so trying to be professional, and let's say you just mucked it up a little bit.
I can probably think of hundreds. I'll give you one that's quite embarrassing to me personally. I was doing a performance of Coppelia many years ago, and we had to do some quick changes from red tights, men wore tights, to white tights. And we have to change everything to make the costumes match. It's a quick change. So you do it right on the side of the stage.
Right.
So we wear something underneath us called a dance belt, and that covers up our private parts yep. proper way. But when you're going from those colors, you have to change your dance belt as well. So I stripped down real quick and forgot to put my dance belt back on and walked out on stage in white tights. And quickly turned away and went back off stage. That is about as embarrassing as you can get personally on stage. There's been other times, even at the school, that one time we had a person running our show abruptly leave the production, and he was the one who knew all the cues. And I wrote the cues, but he knew the cues, and I was on stage doing a character. So while on stage, I'm cueing the lights and with odd, big, strange movements with my hands and legs to get him to change this light here, go, music there, without the audience knowing that I'm conducting from
No, I'm not having a seizure.
That's right.
This is all controlled.
Also a funny thing to look at.
Well, and I say that because we're human.
Yes.
We all absolutely. Make mistakes. You know, we're not perfect. And I am a person that thinks it's funnier in my head than maybe what it, in reality, it should be. You know, so for me, I'm glad you shared that because it's that moment you realize something ain't right.
Right. Well, you know, embarrassment's part of it. As an artist, you put yourself out there.
Yes.
And you're going to have times where things don't go right. And it's good to let students know that we all make mistakes.
Yes.
And it's okay. Yeah. You're allowed. You'll learn from them and you'll move on from them.
That is our hope.
That's right.
You know, is that we learn from it and move on. You know, and it's when you make the same mistake over and over again. There's a life lesson. And I think that one thing, you know, whether you're in sports and dance is a sport, you know, it's an activity, it's a career. I mean, it could be all of those. But, you know, the idea that, you know, sometimes you're going to make that mistake. Let's just try not to make it over and over again.
Right.
You know, quit dropping that person. It hurts them. You know, and again, that's where I think I'm funny, that it may not be funny. Yeah. When somebody comes to your studio, you know, comes to the Flat River Dance Company, a new person, what's the average age that they start with you? And
well,
I say average.
We have two. A lot of parents will bring their kids at three and kind of test in the waters, and they'll flood in and they'll flood right back out because they weren't ready for it or it just wasn't their cup of tea. But usually around seven, we start seeing a regular steady flow of kids.
Okay.
And then they just keep coming in at seven. We keep training them and they grow up, and then some drop out as they go along and they find other interests. And
yeah, I mean, right now I could see where some sports are losing them to dance, and you're losing some dancers to sports.
Kids have to figure it out, you know, and parents have to give them the leeway too. So you always see kids and think, oh, they'd be a great dancer, but if their heart wasn't in it and they wanted to play volleyball, maybe that's where they should go. Yeah.
Is there such a thing as two left feet?
No. No, everyone can dance. It's just a matter of effort and training and
confidence, and I would think.
Confidence comes with that training.
Yes.
You know, the more, the better you get, the more confident you get. So.
You know, because I, as I look at it, and, you know, I, as I said earlier, you know, I would be your comic relief, you know, but there again, that may not be where my heart is.
Right.
You know, and that's perfectly okay. You find other interests. So when you're working, and this is a question on behalf of all of the parents that have somebody that's in that 5 to 10 age group, I would think, what is your biggest challenge with these young, new kids? And I say it that way, meaning that, you know, what are the challenges with that? And what should a parent know and come to it, maybe expect? And I know this is a broad statement because everybody's unique. But in general, how do you approach that younger group?
Well, the first thing I'd say to the parents is, just let them dance. They don't need to be perfect. You know, it's going to take time. And if they stick with it, they'll get better. Just let them have a little bit of fun with it. For the younger kids, our biggest thing is getting them to understand structure and discipline and protocol.
Yep.
And then once they start learning that, then everything else will start falling into place. But a lot of parents sometimes come in with, my kid's got to be perfect, and they're filming from the side of the room and making them practice at home. And I'm like, just let them dance. Yeah. They'll get there.
Well, you know. And that's a – personally, you know, not that my voice even matters here, I like that philosophy because you're letting the kids be a kid, but you're also teaching them that there is a structure.
Mm-hmm.
And that I would think that, you know, I'm hoping that every dance instructor has that mentality, but I'm sure there's some that are more about perfection. But I like the fact that you're saying, hey, we'll get there. It's going to take us a little time, and they're only 8.
Right.
You know, at what age do you see the most, and again, I know this is a loaded question, somebody that's been with you for a couple, 3 years, at what age do you look at them and go,
yeah,
I want you for 3, 4, or 5 more years because?
Well, some you can see almost immediately.
Okay.
We have a teacher, Alex Gilbertson. She came to us at 4 years old, and we knew she was a beautiful, good dancer right from the start. And she stayed with us, and now she teaches for us. Others, they develop slowly. Every kid has their own arc. So there's not one set age.
Well,
but
and I said that knowing the answer, but you know, I'm sure that there's certain things you as a professional see.
Yes.
That I would think, oh, they're doing great. And you're like, technique's not right, but I'm letting them be a dancer.
Right.
I'm letting them be a young person. So you mentioned earlier that you are about the performance more than you are about going to competitions.
Yeah, we don't do competitions at all.
Okay. All of your mental focus is on getting them prepared for the show. And anybody that's not watching this on video, I did the quotes, the open quotes, you know, because it's all about that. And I'm sure that discipline starts to come into play when they start to see. And I think with the younger ones, and, you know, I've worked with different studios, just for these young kids to walk out on stage is a huge accomplishment.
Agreed.
You know, because at a young age, just to go out there.
Yeah. I agreed. At any age, it is something. But particularly when they're young, to get them up there, and we don't throw them out there all by themselves. In our lower levels, they work with our teacher assistants, and we always identify hardworking, dedicated students who work well with younger children, and we ask them to be part of our team.
Yep.
And then they work with the kids alongside the teacher and perform with the kids, and they become like surrogate sisters to these little ones as they grow up.
Yeah.
And so hopefully with that kind of methodology, they get eased onto stage as opposed to out there with their turning their heads and looking around. Ooh. And they all still do that, which is the best part of the show.
Yeah. Well,
but they start learning right from there how the structure works on stage.
Sure. And even though you're after the best show possible, it sounds like you have a heart for the, if they do make a mistake, just get up and keep going.
Oh, yeah. Well, you're never going to have a perfect show.
Right.
And just accept that.
Yeah.
And these are kids. And when you work with kids, they're not professionals. They shouldn't be expected to be like professionals.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to let them grow into their own dance world as you did and as I did. Now we took it, Miranda and I, we both took it to a much higher level.
Right.
But for most of these kids, they're going to do this until they're in high school, and then this is going to be the end of their dance career. So we want to make it the best experience possible for them.
Oh, that makes perfect sense. So do you get an opportunity to go out on a professional stage outside of your studio to perform at your, I mean, are you there, or is that something that you said, I hung these up?
Yeah, I hung my tights up 20 years ago.
Okay.
But I had many opportunities as a professional dancer. I mean, I've been all over the world, danced a lot in Japan. I've met wonderful people through the process, performed works for Nobel laureates like Ule Soenka, and just been on the biggest stages, and it was a great career for that matter.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't really look back and need it anymore. Right. These days I generally play the old man on stage, you know.
Well, you know, and as much as our mind thinks we can do it,
right,
there's a point in our life that the body's going, what you talking about? I don't think you should be doing that anymore.
Right.
You know, so as we come close to wrapping this up, I know I invited you on. Is there anything that we haven't talked about that you want to make sure that people that are checking out, you know, the Flat River Dance Company should know, or any words of advice or a thought that you said, oh, I'm coming on, I'd like to at least say this.
Yeah, well, I'd like to pitch our summer programs.
Please do.
They're starting next week with our ballet boot camp.
Well, and let me put this in perspective. I'm not this is in July of 2026. I don't know, this might be August when we put it out. But you do have a summer program.
Yes, we do.
You know, so whether you're catching it at the beginning or the middle when this podcast comes out, people that are listening, please know that, you know, Flat River Dance Company on the socials, find him, reach out to Joseph. He'll be more than happy. So you have the dance, the summer program. What all is in part of that?
So our summer will start with the ballet boot camp. It's ballet class, point work, and variations. That's not for everyone. You have to be at a certain age. And then we have our superhero and princess camps. There's two of them. That's for 3 to 7 year olds. It's wonderful introduction to dance.
Sure.
And they get to dress up as princesses and superheroes, and it's lots of fun. We have our 2-week dance intensive called Momentum, where you do ballet, jazz, contemporary. We also have fun stuff like an ice cream social, movie night, a beach trip. It's lots of fun. And then we have our hip-hop workshop, which is all the kids kind of like.
Okay. And the whole idea is that they can get a touch on dance.
Yes.
For those that are new coming to it, those that are in it probably get a chance to keep fresh, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's like everything else. You stop doing it for a while, and all of a sudden it takes longer to get back into it. So we've talked about Flat River Dance Company on Facebook, Instagram, that type of thing. What's your phone number?
Flat River Dance Company, 616-450-4461.
One more time.
616-450-4461.
Joseph, thank you so much for coming on the podcast today. I love getting to know the people behind the sign. And I know prior to you coming in, you and I had a lot of phone conversations.
Yes.
So it's finally nice to put a face with the name and the voice. But again, you can reach out to you at Flat River Dance Company on the socials. And on that note, you can follow the Discover Mott.com podcast on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube, as well as Pandora, Apple, and iHeart. Go to discovermottcompodcast.com. Check out all the episodes. If you have an idea or you would like to be on the program to talk about your business, your nonprofit, or you're a family that has grown up in Montcalm County and you have some history, I would love to talk to you. Reach out to me at 231-250-9624. My name's Dwayne, the host and producer. Remember to buy and shop locally.
The Discover Montcalm podcast thanks West Michigan Technology and Design Solutions, M1063 WGLM, DW Video, Blueberry Podcast Platform, and Business Growth Engine. Thank you for your support.